Hello and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast, where we talk about free food and medicine.
Yay! So I had a quick talk with Joe, and apparently I cannot touch the phone without making lots and lots of really weird noise. So I'm going to try not to touch the phone.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it's like noises.
I don't hear it on this end. So hopefully it didn't make it to the recording.
When you listen to the podcast, you'll hear it.
I'm hoping it doesn't, but I'm assuming I will. So I will try not to touch the phone.
All right. In 1 minute, we will call in to Blog Talk Radio. But I've been doing some homework on Niminoff. Where'd it go? I got like 5 windows open.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got like 3 browsers open with several with several pages on each browser. But you should Google Niminoff, N-E-M-E-N-H-A-H. And they have a lot of stuff for Niminoff, I mean, for their medicine men. I'm sorry, not Google. Well, Google it, but YouTube it as well. Because the YouTubes didn't come up on the first Google search. And actually, I'm not doing Google searches. I'm doing Bing searches because for whatever reason, Bing took over my computer, which is bad, but I hate Google more than I hate Microsoft. So it is now 10 o'clock.
I hear you.
So let me find the right phone number and we'll call into Blog Talk Radio.
And we wait. And we wait.
Three, two, one. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the
Hello and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. This is our prequel for our freefoodandmedicine.org podcast. So after we're done with this 30-minute recording, if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org and click on podcast, and you'll be able to listen to the full version of this recording. Thank you very much. And here we go.
And here we go.
And here we go. I never know if the recording's going to play or not.
Like echo factor when you started to do it and it took over.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. So I'm just like, do I wait? Do I not wait? Anyways, I don't know. This Blog Talk Radio is only to advertise our podcast. And after we get like 60 recordings, we can't record anymore unless we give them more money. So we're only going to do 60 of these. And then we'll just do everything on our end, which is freefoodandmedicine.org. So what's today's topic?
I don't know. I suppose pokeberry would be good, but I have to do some research. The reason I say pokeberry is because, did we?
Go ahead.
Did we talk about Bookberry before?
No.
Well, Bookberry would be one of those things that Roth Grants would call strong medicine. You should be an expert before you go using it. You know, so don't just go out and eat it willy-nilly. People do make a thing they call poke salute. So I can't even say it right. It sounds like poke salad when they say it, but it's not spelled that way. It's spelled with a T, not a D. Basically they'll gather the young leaves just coming out of the ground, and they'll prepare them a lot like you would asparagus. Okay. I'm just going off the general knowledge. I'm not looking at a book. Just the general knowledge would be once it starts showing purple veins in the stalk, then you don't want to use it. Okay. The root, I'm not sure what the root is, what it has in it, but it has, I'm not sure what the plant has in it as far as the chemicals they call poisonous. All right. But the root has the majority of it in it, all right? There's enough in the whole plant to make you sick, all right? But the root has the most of it. And if you're using it for a medicine, the root is what you want to go for, and you better know what you're doing because it possibly could kill you if you didn't know what you were doing, all right? But that said, I have eaten the berries from time to time, and I know that there's recipes out there for making poke berry jelly.
And pie.
And pie. And I've eaten the berries, about a half a handful of them, whenever I've gotten a cold or a flu, and they happen to be available. I'd pop about a half a handful of these in my mouth, and I'm not endorsing that everybody should do this. All right? What I might suggest is that you test it by maybe squeezing one of the berries under your tongue and let it soak there for a little bit and then spitting it all out. And if you don't get sick from it overnight, then maybe the next day actually try a berry. You know, in other words, try with a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more, just to see if you get a reaction from it. If you don't get a reaction doing that by the third day, you're probably okay with it. And that's a good general rule for any strange plant that you see out there and you think it might be a good idea to try to eat it. All right? You know, give it the three-day test. You know, by the third day, you'll probably know you're going to have a bad reaction to it, and you won't have taken enough to poison yourself unless it's something like the Death Angel mushroom.
Right? Or hemlock?
You know, you might get away with this with hemlock as well. I'm not sure. This is the rule of thumb that my grandmother used in order to determine if something was safe to eat. And it seemed to have worked all of her life. She lived to a good ripe age. She passed it on to me, and that seems to be working for me. So test it first before you take my word for it being medicine. Now, that said, I did find out I usually crunch and eat the seeds of every fruit and berry I eat. So, you know, when I eat an apple, I eat the whole apple, and I grind up those seeds with my teeth. All right? I eat an orange, I eat the orange seeds. I grind them up with my teeth. All right? I eat the whole thing, except with oranges. I don't eat the skin because they usually got sprayed or something. But if I get an organic orange, I'll eat the skin too. All right? Pokeberry seeds, I do not grind up the seeds because I found out the first time I ground up the seeds, I got pretty sick. I wanted to throw up pretty badly. All right. I don't usually get that reaction from food. So I simply do not grind up the seeds when I eat pokeberries. So So there you go.
My two cents on that. I don't really know much about it, except I was told, and I don't know if I was told about the color, like when it starts changing color, but I was told when it starts to fork.
Oh, okay.
Then you can't eat it anymore. It's toxic.
Right.
That being said, it may not necessarily be toxic if you use it in minute amounts as a medicine. But again, do your own homework.
Yeah, do your homework. It'd be a strong medicine. And one of the things that it has been used for is a cancer cure. So, you know, it might be cancer specific. I don't know. But, you know, if you're a cancer sufferer, you should probably look into all the different strange foods and plants that are claimed to be cancer cures and see if you can find one that meets your particular need. You know, and poke root might be it. I'm not saying that if you got cancer, go out now and grate up some poke root and eat it for your salad. Honestly, that probably would kill you. All right. I'm saying do some research and find out how to prepare it, how to use it, you know, and do testing. Don't just go with huge doses at once. You know, take your time with it and see what it's doing to you. You know, if it's doing good things, great. If it's doing bad things, you know, back off. You know.
Kind of like vitamin C with rose hips or any vitamin C for that matter. If you start taking too much and you start getting diarrhea, or getting a soft stool, then you know to back off the vitamin C.
Yeah, except an overdose of vitamin C ain't going to kill you.
No, it's just going to give you the run.
You'll wish you were dead, but you're not going to die.
Right. You'll live in the bathroom if you overdose on vitamin C. But I mean, I'm using that as an example.
I understand.
You know, you can regulate yourself. In the case of vitamin C, you can regulate yourself by your regularity, but in other things, you have to do different style of testing in order to figure out if you need to back off or take more. Just like vitamin B, when it comes to niacin, you know, if you're getting a flush, you know it's working.
Yeah.
Depending on what niacin you're taking. There's two different kinds. And from what I understand, if you don't get a flush, then
up the dosage. Or your source was no good.
Or your source was no good.
Yeah, they lied to you. There was no niacin there.
So, yeah, you can figure it out for yourself. You don't, the other thing that I've noticed and have been taught, you know, the goats eat pokeberry. They love it. So it's obviously not necessarily deadly, but, you know,
they don't eat the plant. They don't eat the plant, but they do eat the berries. They come back with purple lips.
Right. They wait till the berries are ripe, and then they go for the berries. So, obviously, there's something about the berries. Now, goats are different than humans because they're a different race. But, nonetheless, a Native American lady once told me that she dries them out. And what she will do is, you know, whenever she starts getting any kind of pain, joint pain, arthritis, muscle pains, any kind of pain, She'll take a few of those dried pokeberries and pop them in her mouth, not a whole half of a handful like David does, just a few. She'll pop them in her mouth, and her pain will go away. She uses them as a painkiller.
Does she chew them up or swallow them whole?
I think she just swallowed them whole, but I don't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, because if I chewed those, I'd probably get sick.
Right. So do your homework. Maybe talk to the natives. You know, we're studying to be medicine men. Maybe not official medicine men ordained by the Native American Church, but we are. You know, we've been studying this stuff for a long time, and you know, this is what we do. This is what we love. This is our life. Our religion, so to speak. And but we still always tell everybody to go and do their own homework, because some of the stuff can be sensitive. Some of the stuff can be sensitive. So.
And that's part of our religion too. You must study.
Oh yeah, you must do your own homework, no matter what it is.
Do not outsource your intelligence to others. You know, use your own.
So
consult others.
I eat pokeberry raw. I don't eat the roots. I don't eat the greens. I eat the berries when they're ripe. I don't eat a half a handful, but I will eat a couple or a few at a time. They don't taste as good as elderberries, but they're not bad. So, what did Marcus Rothkranz say about pokeberry?
I don't know. I tell you what, they taste a whole heck of a lot better than buckberry.
Oh, I'm sure. Poke, page 158. Now, 158. Now, if you listen to our previous podcast, we were going to be talking about aloe today. So if we run out of time on our blog talk radio, you'll have to listen to the rest of the story to hear about aloe.
Okay.
We talked about aloe a little bit on last week's podcast, and we were going to continue on this one. But we'll read about poke real quick. And then we'll start talking about aloe. Warning, poisonous raw. Poisonous raw, but powerful healing when used right. So too much is too much. And too much, it's easy to overdose. This would be more sensitive than golden seal even. Golden seal, you want to regimen yourself with, or you over-detoxify yourself, and you'll basically make yourself susceptible to illness if you use too much golden seal. You're only supposed to use it like 2 weeks out of a month. This would be more sensitive than that. Poke contains a compound known as poke activating factor, PAF. Which is on the next page. Structurally similar to interferon, PAF also functions like interferon, but unlike the pharmaceutical interferons, PAF is not tissue specific. Therefore, PAF works in multiple tissues, including the liver, but note it can be dangerous at high levels. Warning, all parts of this plant are poisonous if eaten raw. Boil the young leaves and stems at least twice or even three times, throwing away the water from each boiling. The dark, skinny berries, the dark, shiny berries are also edible if cooked. Do not eat the roots. They are poisonous. Or any of the plant, if red or purple, is anywhere on the plant. So when the green part, not the berries, but when the green part starts turning purple or red, do not eat it. Also, only eat young leaves, not old leaves. So the baby shoots are edible,
yep,
but not raw, apparently. Know what you are doing with this plant. So, yes, use extreme caution. Again, we've eaten the berries. The goats eat the berries. I've had friends who eat the berries when they're ripe and raw. However,
yep,
again, maybe only a couple or a few, one at a time, so like David's regimen, take one a day. If that's okay, up the dose to two a day and see what happens, you know. But don't be very, very careful. Don't take too much. You know, more than a handful is probably too much. More than a half a handful is probably too much.
Yeah.
Again, he's saying you can cook the berries. So making poke pie, poke jelly with the berries would probably be perfectly fine.
Find a traditional recipe and follow it.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like the royal taste testers, you know, the kings and queens and the other royal people would not eat a thing until their taste testers tested it to make sure it was safe. You know?
Yeah. If I was a taste tester, my king would be dead.
This is true. But they might have had more than one taste tester. Yeah. However, you know, what my point is, you know, look at what other people are doing. If you see them eat it and they're okay, it's probably okay. But don't exceed what they're doing, because that probably is not okay. But do your own homework. You know, things like this. I have eaten a couple at a time. If you see me eating a couple at a time, it might be okay for you to eat a couple at a time. But I wouldn't go more than a couple. You know, so things like, and a lot of people like our tree boss, I've tried to get him to eat some elderberries the other day, and he was like, no, I'll be okay. I'm all right. You know, he's in alternative health, but he wouldn't eat the elderberry until I ate it first. Then he tried it and he was like, oh, that's not too bad.
Right. Yeah. He had to see that you would eat it first. And that's actually kind of smart.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If you wait for it, maybe not so much elderberries, even though the New World Order wants you to think they're poisonous too. When it comes to things like poke and other sensitive plants, watch and make sure that the person that's saying it's edible eats it before you eat it.
Well, honestly, elderberries, half the books say it's poisonous raw. Half the books say it's poisonous cooked. It's
right.
Poisonous neither. But, you'll find books that say one or the other. So there's some confusion. I mean, comfrey is supposed to be bad for you. Well, comfrey induces tissue growth.
Right.
You know. It has this name, knit bone is another name for it. Because you don't need a cast if you're using comfrey. Your bone will grow that fast.
No way.
You know, but, you know, you're not supposed to eat it because it's bad for the kidneys and the liver. You know, I suppose if it damaged your liver, it'd cause your liver to grow so fast, they would replace it from all the damage it did.
Right.
I don't know. I you know. Yeah.
So, aloe. It's on page 348 and 349. We'll be talking about aloe vera and also cape aloe, C-A-P-E, aloe. You have your book on you, or are you in the dark again?
I'm in the dark. I'm always in the dark.
I'm not going to read two whole pages.
Oh, I wish I had my book handy. Well,
all right, fine.
You got
I'll try
six
and read two whole pages.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, I'll start with cape aloe since that's one that people are probably most likely not familiar with. Cape aloe, it's also called bitter aloe or red aloe. Originally from South Africa, now also in Southwest U.S. This is a much larger, more aggressive plant than aloe vera, sometimes having stems reaching over 12 feet tall. The leaves have bigger thorns and hold 20 times more bitter sap. Has a red flower stalk, famous for its laxative properties. Has fiber, lots of fiber. Stimulates
spell it.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it. P-E-R-I-S-T-A-L-S-I-S. Peristalsis. Anyway.
I'm lost.
Stimulates whatever that is.
Soothes,
cleanses, and detoxifies toxic poisons from the intestinal tract. There you go. All that garbage that we eat, like food paint and high fructose corn syrup and flavored cardboard. Anyways, this will help get all that stuff out of the intestinal tracts.
In other words, you're not going to feel good eating it at first.
Perhaps. Well, it says it's soothes and cleanses. As long as you don't eat the pokey parts, that will kind of hurt going down. Anyway.
Yeah.
Relieves inflammation. It is more polysaccharides. Polysaccharides, has more of those, has more vitamins, more minerals, more amino acids than aloe vera. It's like super aloe vera. Super aloe vera, super califragilistic. Anyways, okay. It's a super aloe vera. Helps stimulate white blood cell production, heals wounds, inflammation, and skin issues. Good for detoxifying old crap from the bowels and the body. Used for eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, genital herpes, seborrhea, S-E-B-O-R-R-H-E-A, Seborrhea, whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
helps with red eyelids, helps the gums, helps ulcerative
90 seconds
colitis, lung cancer, low blood sugar in diabetes, tightens the skin, high in antioxidants, contains aspirin-like compounds for pain relief, may cause some cramping as it works on intestines.
60
so it might cause
seconds.
Some cramping while it works on the intestines. Do not take while pregnant. So
right.
That is Cape aloe vera, and we're almost out of time. So to hear the rest of this story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org, where I've got everything updated except for this podcast. I'll get it updated as quickly as possible when we are done. All right. So long.
Are we on the other side?
Okay. We are on the other side.
Okay. Well, I have a couple suggestions for eating it. All right.
Don't eat it straight. Skin it first.
Yes. Yeah. It's the gel that they put in the drinks so often. For me, I always found it slimy and gross. I couldn't stand the texture of it, period. And it doesn't taste all that good. Now, that's me. Now, I've had friends, especially Asian friends, who apparently were raised on it. And, you know, they could gulp it down by the gallons, and it was great stuff. But I found that some of the aloe vera drinks, they add flavoring to it. So maybe a squeeze of lemon, you know. Maybe throw in, when you're blending it up, throw in some pitted cherries or something like that. Add some flavor to it if you can't stand it the way it is. You know, Lord forbid, throw in some sugar, you know. But another suggestion, I don't remember why or when I ran across this, but one of the things I ran across was a recipe for vegan sushi. And they use the aloe vera to give the texture, the gel from inside, to give the texture of raw fish. And they prepared it in such a way that it tasted like raw fish. So, you know, it's all a matter of presentation. So I might find the slippery, slimy piece of aloe vera to be acceptable if it tasted different, like a raw fish.
Like a California roll.
Yeah, you know, roll it in there. Wrap some kelp around it and have that in there as the meat, you know, instead of crab meat, have that in there, you know. That might just get past my gums with no problem.
Well, most artificial crab meat is whitefish anyway.
So. Yeah, I understand. Which okay. is the reason why I will eat most, you know, whatever. But I'm saying, you know, if you're serving me sushi, and it happens to have aloe vera instead of fish meat in it, the aloe vera might actually get past my lips.
There you go.
You know, if it's flavored appropriately, it gets past my lips, even though it still has the same texture. It's just something about its bland flavor and that texture. It's reminiscent of trying to drink raw egg whites.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, I can't do it. And there's people who do it because, you know, it's supposed to be really good for the protein content and such, but I can't. So.
I can put a raw egg in a milkshake because I can't taste the raw egg then.
There you go.
But I can't do the raw egg straight, no.
There you go, an aloe vera milkshake. I could probably do that.
Well, see, and the regular aloe vera doesn't taste all that bad, but apparently the Cape aloe vera is more bitter, like 12 times more bitter. No, 20 times more bitter.
I wouldn't know. I didn't find aloe vera to be all that bitter in the first place. You know, so
it's just bland.
Yeah, just so bland and slimy and chunky and slimy at the same time. So it's got to have some flavor. It's got to have some flavor, or I don't know.
Okay, so you chop it up and put it in your juice, and the juice will give it flavor.
Yep. Give it a good puree.
All right.
Give it a good puree and mix it with the juice.
So I'll now read the aloe vera part, which is a little longer, a lot longer. Oh, wait a minute.
Well, hit the key points.
Yeah.
Hit the key points. You know, what's the nutritional content? What diseases does it handle?
The whole book is the key content. What are you talking about? Just ask Marcus Rothkranz. This is the Bible.
Yeah, not quite. But yes, it's okay. Important.
It is very important. Okay, so aloe vera is one of the most amazing miracle plants on the planet. It's so fantastic. It's like aliens put it here. It stores... Oh, okay. It stores for months. Cut it and it heals itself. It's a smart plant. It can tell the difference between normal cells, which it stimulates, and bad stuff like viruses, cancer, leukemia, and HIV, which it stops from spreading. It's antiviral, antibacterial. It's antiviral, antibacterial, used for candida, parasites, and fungal problems. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, I don't know what I just read there. Not fungal problems. All right. It's anti... I'm getting tired.
I hear you.
It's antiviral, antibacterial, used for candida, parasites, fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, allergies, arthritis, and skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. It eliminates toxic wastes. Has EFAs, whatever that is, and is a powerful anti-inflammatory that helps stomach and colon, which it helps clean. It helps every part of the body cleanse itself. Since it helps clean out the bowels really well, it greatly reduces bloating, discomfort, and helps ease stress, which only leads to more attacks on the which leads to more attacks of irritable bowel syndrome. It's very popular for conditions like indigestion, acid reflux, IBS, colitis, Crohn's disease, and ulcers. Reduces ulcers by 80%. It reduces cholesterol and triglycerides, helps metabolize fat, and is greatly used for, oh, where do I start? Adult diabetes, asthma, this other word. Oh, angina. I don't see that word very often. Blood sugar.
Yeah, I usually see it as jokes.
Yeah. So it helps with adult diabetes, asthma, angina, blood sugar, cholesterol, acne, AIDS, enema. Weird. Oh, okay. You can use it for an enema. Arteries, athlete's feet, bad breath, hair loss. Hey, that my brother can use that. He's jealous of my hair. Anyway, bladder infections, bronchitis, bruises, burns, bursitis, whatever that is, cataracts, cold sores, colic, colitis, constipation, cuts, cystitis, depression, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis. Wait a minute. I just thought it said Baritis already. That's a reprint. Baritis again.
Yeah, he does that.
Okay. Glaucoma and vision, other vision problems, etc. Aloe has all kinds of natural steroids, antibiotics, amino acids, minerals, enzymes, and stuff we haven't even discovered yet. How do we know it if we haven't discovered it yet?
Don't ask questions. Just believe.
I believe I can fly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it on your skin, and it soaks right through into your body and bloodstream. Going right to work. Speaking of skin, aloe is a miracle skin stuff. It's rich in organic silicon and helps make strong cells and arterial walls, mucous membranes, and the connective tissues of bones and cartilage. While working on skin cancer, hemorrhoids, and varicose veins. Chickweed. If you have varicose veins, you should also eat chickweed. Anyways, after being absorbed into the skin, it stimulates the fibroblasts cells and causes them to regenerate themselves faster. I need to take more aloe. Anyway,
yeah.
We got tons of it growing on the land.
Well, yes, it's aloe, but I'm not sure if it's aloe vera or aloe what.
Yeah. Okay. It's the cells that produce the collagen and elastin, so the skin will get smoother and look younger. It stimulates lymph movement and even has aspirin-like salicylic acid.
Yep.
Cut off the outer skin and stick the gel. Okay. Brace
yeah.
Yourself. Cut off the outer skin and stick the gel in vagina for infections and irritations. That probably works on the penile part too.
Probably.
Anyway. And who knows? He already said it was good for enemas. There are over 400 species of aloe, but aloe vera is the one you want. The only type mentioned as toxic is aloe venenosa, VENENOSA. So we need to look that one up to make sure that's not what we have.
Right.
So the only one they know of that is toxic is the aloe venenosa. Type known to be okay is aloe vera. Aloe vulgaris, aloe Socotrina, aloe canensis, whatever, and aloe peri are all okay. Some people have reactions to the latex in aloe, so taste a small amount first. Taking too much over a long period of time may cause kidney problems. So don't drink it, don't drink 8 glasses a day. But, once a day keeps the doctor away. It cleans out the digestive tract so well, it might be uncomfortable for some people. So basically it acts like vitamin C. You don't want too much of it, it'll clean you out.
Well, it sounds like that's actually the purpose of it, is to clean you out.
Right, but it could clean you out too much, kind of like what we was talking about earlier with Golden Seal. Golden Seal will clean you out too much. And so you only want to take Golden Seal 2 weeks at a time, and then you want to take a two-week break, 1 or 2 week break, I can't remember. But do your homework on that too, So, you might use your bowels as a testament to whether or not you're taking too much. You get, when your bowels start getting loose, you're taking enough aloe or vitamin C in general, So back off of one or the other.
Stomach rumbles.
Well, yeah, basically when you start getting loose bowels, back off of the aloe, back off the vitamin C, or both. And you should be fine.
Yep.
Anything else?
I can't think of anything.
All right, well, let's look up. I will look up. If you don't have your phone ready to look it up, the aloe is said was bad.
Right.
So we will look up A-L-O-E. Starts with the V. Here it is. VENENOSA. Well, it looks a lot like regular aloe. However, some of it's polka dotted.
Yeah, but so is regular aloe.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of regular aloe and it's polka dotted.
Well, it's darker green and polka dotted. Well, that's Google Image. So let's look at an actual website that's talking about the specific plant. And see,
and it's aloe vera, V-E-R-A. No, that's aloe. No, that's the normal one, aloe vera. What's the one that's toxic?
VENENOSA. Leaves are poisonous. It is a hybrid. But that one doesn't give me a picture. Yeah, if we can't identify these plants and they're potentially poisonous, the ones that we have, we might as well get rid of them.
Right. Yeah, as far as I know, nobody's been eating them, but people are using them on their skin and such.
And they're fine.
Right. Well, pretty fine. But, you know, there's people who drink too much alcohol and they look fine.
True.
Venosa? Aloe venosa?
Yeah. Now we'll have to take it to people who know the difference and see what they have to say. Maybe Marcus Rothkranz will take a look at it. Probably not.
Yes, you know. Yeah, see, that's something. We need to learn how to tell the difference. There's going to be different characteristics. I know we got two different varieties of aloe, but the people we got them from called them both aloe vera. So,
all right, this website's useless.
I'm just going to search aloe database by characteristics. Okay. Oh. I'm on garden.org, seeing if there's a way to tell the difference between them easily.
Okay.
And right. They show a picture of an aloe. And they got several different pictures of aloes taken by various people. They're all very similar. There's variations in the flower, the leaf structure. Um, Some have yellowish flowers. Some have more red. They all seem to have some red in their flowers. Here's one that seems to do the flower stalks out of the side of the plant. Most of them do it pretty much out of the top. None of these pictures identify which kind of aloe it is, though. That's not helpful.
Right. How do you identify the poisonous one?
Well, Garden.org probably wasn't concerned with that. They probably weren't thinking in terms of the food value, but rather the... Yeah. Lots of different types. Wow, here's one I didn't even know was an aloe. I think I bought that one as a succulent before.
Well, I'm on Wiki now. They've got a bunch of aloe pictures, different types of aloes. There's the Cape aloe. Amaranth. Oh, no. Almost. No aloe venosa.
Right. So I mean, I've got aloe venosa marked on the garden.org. I'll keep that, but I'm going to try another search here.
They don't even have... Oh, wait, hang on. Here it is. Venenosa. Open a new tab. No pictures. No information on the link.
Oh my God. This is almost useless.
Yeah. Toxicity.
Yeah, somebody was saying aloe vera was toxic.
Yeah. Like, well, it is. If you get the wrong one.
Right. Oh, okay, it's part of the lily family. Oh, so it's related to yucca.
Yucca, yucca, yucca.
I wouldn't have seen that. They look radically different.
Not radically different. One's a succulent, the other one's not.
Well, yeah.
The flowers are a little different.
Yeah, yucca has white flowers.
All right, that's your mission. Find out which one is the venenosa and what does it look like. We want pictures. Post it on our Discord at freefoodandmedicine.org.
And here's an aloe with yellow flowers.
If you can help us identify the aloe venenosa, I might have a picture right here.
Plants that look like aloe vera. Well, that'd be other aloes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It took me back here. Apparently, it grows in Africa. And Germany. Maybe.
They said agave looks like aloe vera.
Oh.
Yeah, not probably. So much. They said yucca looks like aloe vera. All right. So obviously thehunker.com is not the place to go look for information because they oversimplify.
Oh, yeah, no, agave looks more like yucca.
Yeah.
All right, according to this search. It's a succulent, the Venenosa, but not as much of a succulent.
There we go.
Not very good.
Botanical Gardens might have some better. Okay, see, I took this this mushroom class, Missouri Mycological Society. They teach you how to identify 40 of the more common mushrooms in Missouri. And the first class they teach you is the 10 poisonous mushrooms in Missouri. But my point is, before I took that class, I didn't know what parts of a mushroom to even look at so I could tell one mushroom from the other. Yeah, I could see one was brown and one was tall and one was fat and one was skinny and one melted away as soon as the sunlight hit it and the other one survived all day. You know, I could see those things. All right. But they pointed at, you know, the different structures, the different body parts, if you will, of mushrooms and how they form differently. And so I'm looking at aloe right now, and my ignorance is about the same as my ignorance of mushroom anatomy before I took the class. And so basically I need to find an aloe identification class.
Yeah. Well, don't go to this website. It's all in Spanish.
That might be the one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It looks Spanish anyways.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's Spanish.
Okay, so we're actually at the limit of our time, but I'm going to read this anyway just because it looks like it kind of puts a whatever on it. Okay,
yeah,
I have
overtime on the last one. Might as well go in overtime on this one.
I have had these aloe plants for years, and I have been trying to identify them to no avail. The color is a medium green, and they have clear thorns outlining the leaf edge and some smaller thorns on the underside of the leaves. The plants grow tall and are constantly growing little baby plants up from the roots. I haven't had any of them flower yet, and I'm assuming that's because they're not old enough. These aloes look very similar to aloe arborescens. Okay, I'm sure I killed that. Aloe kendogenesis. Aloe Scorpiodes, Aloe-2-genesis, and Aloe-mutabilis. But I noticed some differences. I would be very thankful if anyone could help. So this guy's further along than us. You know, he at least kind of can see similarities. And he took pictures and put them up, all right? And part of his problem could be he's growing them in greenhouse conditions, i.e. sitting in a house next to a window, which doesn't let them get full light, you know, so they might never trigger to grow flowers. Bill and Shirley's aloe in the greenhouse when I was in there flowered in the middle of winter because I had it nice and steamy hot in there. So apparently I triggered it to flower.
Oh yeah. It likes desert like conditions.
Yeah. So, yeah, somebody liked this close up pictures, but you know, that's the point. We don't know enough. That's, you know,
right.
Here's a site I can use to idea some of my plants. And he's saying, go to desert tropicals.com. So we found somebody who had a similar problem, and now we're going to follow their path to solution. And it didn't work. I followed www.deserttropicals.com and got www.deserttropicals.com.
Now, this one's in another language, too. But the picture they show for it looks like regular aloe. I can't read the rest. Here's a video. Hang on a second. It might be in another language as well, but I'm going to play it anyway.
Oh, joy.
Okay, yeah, it's in Chinese. But she is actually eating that aloe vera. And I don't know, she seems...
Aloe vera or aloe venosa?
I mean, the venosa. Venenosa, she's eating it. I can't read all of it, but it's talking about planta venenosa. Creendo qui es aloe vera. So I don't know. Una blogger, China, si comió una planta venenosa creando qui era aloe vera mientre lo retransmita and directo a to via the Facebook Live a Los Tres Mer whatever blah blah blah. I don't know, I can't speak the language. But anyways, looks like she Facebook Lived her eating this plant. Doesn't look like anything happened to her, but I don't know.
Right.
Because I can't read the language. Here's another one in a different language. It says, I don't know what it says.
I think I found a good site to go to. It says droughtsmartplants.com. It's a hyphen between each word. So drought-smart-plants.com. It has a succulent identification chart. So find your plant here. And we know they're aloes. Oh, well, maybe. Here's one they call a Haworthia, which looks an awful lot like an aloe.
I might have found something in English. Babosa aloe vera.
Okay.
Whatever that means. Crap, it's in another language. Okay. So yeah, venenosa. Aloe vera venenosa. If anybody can find any information on it, let us know in our Discord and at freefoodandmedicine.org. We're 9 minutes over time, and I'm tired. I got to get up at 6 a.m.
All righty.
So I'll upload this tomorrow after work, I'm sure.
I'll send you a link to the page I found, and I'll probably be referring to it in the near future.
All righty. I'll put it in the Discord since you don't go there.
I'll have to go there and put it there. Good night, folks.
All right.